Morning. Good to see everyone out. I'd like to welcome everyone to New Harmony Baptist Church this morning. You see the sign there, we'll be celebrating 150 years this year. We've got that set for September the 13th. Don't know for, we'll see as it gets closer what's going to happen. Which we all know that those numbers are rising quickly. I don't know, none of us know how many of them's right, but anyway, we'll try to figure out. I pray that we get to keep it on as our, we'll have our commission our building down there, our dedication for it, and we've got commissioning of the Journey of Hope coming up, so a lot of exciting things, but of course we all know what's lingering out there we got to deal with, but continue to pray. God can handle anything. There's nothing impossible with God, not a single thing, so he can speak and this thing can be gone and never to return again, so that's my prayer today. Of course, we'll have no services tonight. We're not going to have any night services in July. We will, again, with this virus stuff going on, we will planning to do Sunday summer nights in August, where we're going to invite the community to come out to church that night, those nights. We'll have a time of the word given. We'll have a time of fellowship, time of food, have some games. The old people is going to beat the young people in volleyball, which a lot of our young people is not here this morning. Everybody is vacationing or either working. So it's just that time of year for that. So excited about those things coming up. The way of prayer requests, we've got several this morning I know of. Remember Stephanie, she is on day 7 of her 12-hour shift. She has worked for school. Abby said she only likes 3 more. She didn't think that was too good. She was wanting it to be 0, but she does like 3 more of her 12-hour shifts being done before they graduate in August. Also, Eric be graduating. I just, Gadsden State wants them to drive through and get their diplomas by themselves. I don't think there's much fun in that. So pray for those graduates that has put the hard work into this and not getting to see the fruit of it is getting to graduate a ceremony. So tough times. Also, remember Crimson. She'll be going back to the doctor for some more tests. Pray that they find out what's going on and that God heals her body. Gets her back like she desires to be. Do we have any others this morning? I'm sure there's a bunch, but anybody wants to request prayer for?
My daughter's friend's dad, Johnny McDaniel. I'm sorry, McDonald.
Okay.
He's older and then has a lot of other problems. Just got out of the hospital.
Remember him. Any others? I'm sure there's a bunch of them. Got any unspoken? You can raise your hand. We all ought to have a bunch. Remember those as we pray. Then our singers come forth and we'll say, I know a bunch of people's missing this morning, but let's still worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. The number of people we have here don't matter. It says where 2 or 3 are gathered, they'll be in the midst. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today for this day you've given us, the blessing of life. God, every day is a blessing. We thank you for it. And God, we ask you to be in our midst this morning, God, to touch hearts and lives as we come to worship you. God, these prayer requests have been made known. I ask that you touch in each situation. God, I pray you give the doctors the knowledge of how to treat these that are going for tests, that you heal them back to their much-wanted health. And God, the ongoing virus in our land, we pray that you eradicate it. God, we pray that you take care of it and just make it go away. God, all the other problems we're facing in our nation, we know you are the answer to them also, and we trust you. We lean on you only, not on what all this negative stuff we're hearing, but we lean on the Word of God, and we trust in it. Ask you to be with our singers this morning as they sing. Give them a desire to sing for your honor and your glory. God, as it comes preaching hour, I pray that you touch my lips. Everything that's said will be to honor and glory the name of Jesus Christ. For in his name we ask it. Amen.
I surrender my life, I'm in.
Singing. Again, good to see everyone out, and I guess you noticed my button here. Somebody come through the door and thought it said it's a boy. If it is, I'd be in worse shape than I am now. I told Jonathan I ain't one to want to bring attention to myself or anything. He says he never saw anybody my age wear a button. But good times. I told him back there this morning, you get my age, you want to celebrate every one, you may not have another one. So everyone is a blessing, and honestly, no joking aside, it's a blessing that God allows us to live however old we are, and be thankful if we made it that far. This sermon this morning, I've been thinking on it all week, been studying on it every morning, and I thought I had the title right, and was down here yesterday studying for it, and had to change the name. I had named this sermon, "The Lights Are Off." But as I began studying, I had to understand something, that the lights are on. Because God turned them on, and man can't turn them off once they've been turned on. You know, the Bible teaches that we are to be the light of the world. And I want you to understand something today, that once your light is turned on by the power of God, which is Him, you trusting Him and Him coming into your heart and life, that thing burns forever. And the only way it can not be seen is you put something over it. Has to, you know, the little kids used to sing a song, "Hide it under a bushel." No, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, we all remember the song that children sang. But how true is it that we are guilty of putting bushels over it, of putting shades over it, of putting something over our light? And I want you to understand today that it's important that this world sees your light. Not just my light, but your light. We all have a light. So in Philippians chapter number 2, verses 12 through 16, and I want you to see one more thing before we get started. This book was written to save people. It was written to God's people. He even says, and I didn't put this down for the guys, but if you want to look at Philippians 1 before we get started, it says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. He said, this is written to God's people. Very important you understand that, because what we're about to read. It says, wherefore, my beloved, as I always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do that his good, of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither have labored in vain. Father, we thank you today again for this life that you've given us. We thank you for your blessings. God, we ask you to put your light on this word, that you may illuminate it to us and let us understand it. What it's telling us today, how important it is to understand our light. That God, you may use every one of us as a light in this dark, dark world. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want you to think about the gift that you've been given. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning, about gifts. You've been given a great gift, of course, of grace and mercy, but you've been given a gift that's great also in your having a light for a lost and a dying world. And I want you to think about this, that we're living in a time that has never been such as our fathers and mothers and grandparents have ever experienced. Some of them, maybe some people alive who was in the Great Depression, not a lot. But we're living in times when we see our nation in a great peril. We see our communities, and we don't know what to do. You go to the grocery store, you're afraid you're going to contract something that's going to kill you. And I told them this morning, we have allowed, as God's people even, we've allowed a virus with a 99-point-something% survival rate to cripple us. And it comes out of our fact of understanding that we are God's people and we have the power of God dwelling in us. You see, every single light that is on is powered by something. If you have, in the old days, they had candles, it was powered by that wax, you know, it was burning up that wick, and those lamps that was there, they was oil lamps, and the lights we have today are powered by electricity, which is some turbine being turned at Late We Die We somewhere or somewhere else, and the electricity comes to us. But one thing's for certain, if you have a light today, you have power. Power providing that light. Us Southerners, when the lights go out, what do we say? Well, that's a good thing, but we say the power's off. Now, if you've ever been around any Yankees, you know what they say? The electric's off. That don't sound good at all, does it? I like the power's off. We say the power's out. We'll call and say, hey, is your power out too, or I just didn't pay my bill? We'll say something like that, but maybe y'all don't. Y'all may never have your power. I don't know. But listen, we'll say the power's off. But I want you to think about this gift that you've been given. How is that light placed in your life? How was it put there? And it's simply by gift. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Today, if you have a light for God, if you have the power of God illuminating a light in your life, brother, then guess what it is? It is a gift. And may I tell you something? My God is not an Indian giver. He don't take back what he gives. Ain't you proud about that? Even when I do something against him, he doesn't take the gift away from me. He doesn't take my light off. That's why I had to go back and change the title of this message, is I cannot turn this light off because, brother, I didn't turn it on. Boy, I could preach for days about turning lights off in my house. And those dads, two things we don't like is lights on, somebody messing with our thermostat, amen? We don't like that. But we've been given this great gift. We've been set free by the death of Jesus Christ. By his grace and mercy, he has set us free. And not for just to be set free and set on the shelf either. I'm afraid so many people are just satisfied with being saved and having fire insurance. We're just excited that we're not going to hell, and that's all we need, we think. But hey, God wants us to understand something, that we've been given a great gift. And by the way, back to that verse number 12, I want you to understand this also. In verse 12 it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now if you take that literal, that sounds like you've got to work for your salvation. But remember, this book was written to the people at Philippi who were saints, the Bible says in verse 1. It says they were saints, and it says to the pastors, to the deacons, and to all the saved people, this was written to you. So what does it mean to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? It means to take that gift that God has given you of salvation and treat it dearly. Treat it like it is a gift. Treat it like it's something, some special heirloom that the family give you. Treat it like it's your most prized possession. And anything you do, you don't want to tarnish it. You don't want to ruin it. Brother, you want to get everything out of it that you can. I read one commentary this week that said this is the same meaning as a mine, as a gold mine. You see, as a gold mine you've given, that mine is full of gold, but you have to do something, don't you? You have to extract it. You have to extract every bit out of it. And if I had a gold mine, you know what I would do? I would make sure that every little ounce of gold was out of that mine. That when I died, that my gold mine was completely empty. All that was there would be trash, dirt, and nothing expensive, nothing good. I would get everything out of my mine I could. And brother, you need to be using your salvation, this gift that God has given you, and you need to be letting your light shine among men so that when you leave this walks of life, they say, boy, he got the best of that, what God gave him. Work it out with fear and trembling. Not fear that God is going to take it away, but fear of, hey, this must be special. The King of Kings give it to me. Do you understand that the power I'm talking about that lives inside of you, that powers the light that you have for this perverse nation and this crook nation, is the same power that spoke the whole world into existence? It's living inside of you. It is inside of you. And listen, the only reason that it's not more evident is you have got a bushel thrown over it. You've got a covering thrown over it. And you're not allowing people to see it. But you have the same light that Billy Graham had. You got the same light that Charles Stanley or whatever preacher you like or whoever great evangelist you can think of or any great Christian martyr you can think of. You've got the exact same light in you that he had, because it is powered from the same power source, which is God. So why is yours not as bright as Billy Graham's? Because you've got it hid. You've got yours hid. The gift is not to be like fire insurance, to be used for his glory. The treasure offers you as much as you will dig out of it. This thing is endless. There's no telling what you can do for God. There's no telling what you can do for the kingdom of God. There's no telling what souls you can reach for the kingdom. And the reason that you're not, and the reason that I'm not, is because I'm not allowing the light to shine through me as God desires it to. It's not that it's not there. It's not that it's turned off. It is always on. It will always be on. The only reason they're not seeing it is I cover it up. The Bible even says that men are not real smart, but even we know that you don't take a lamp and put a shade over it to cover it, to completely block it out. Yes, we put shades over it to make it spread out, to dim it a little bit in our lamps at home, but we don't take a black shade and drop it over our lamp and say, I wonder why this thing is not working. Why in the world this thing don't give off light? It's got a bulb in it. It's got power to it. It comes on, but my goodness, it just doesn't show any light. And we know not to do that. We know not to cover it up. So why in the world do we take the gift that God has given us, the power he's placed in us, and we cover it up and don't let nobody see it? Almost like we're ashamed of it. You see, we're living at a time when we have allowed the outside sources to think, make us believe that if we stand on the word of God, that we are something that weird. And the Bible says, by the way, we're to be a peculiar people. We've allowed it to say that, hey, if you stand on the word of God, that maybe even you hate people. If you stand on the word of God, that maybe even you are not social, accepted in social circles or different things. Listen, I really don't care what they say about me. What I'm supposed to do is let the light of God shine through me. And if I'm doing that, brother, I am right. It don't matter what men says. So we've talked about the gift. Anybody in here ever received a gift for Christmas? Raise your hand. Anybody? Boy, y'all some sad people. Y'all ain't getting up for Christmas. We've all received gifts. By the way, it's my birthday tomorrow. I'm just kidding. But we receive gifts. And in today's times, we're living in a sissified generation when gifts have to come with two things. Number one is instructions. As a man, you should hate instructions. But we need them. But they come with this gift comes with instructions. Listen to what it says in verse 13. It says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to do will and to do good of his good pleasure." And it tells us in verse 14, it goes on and says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." So this instruction we're given, it said it is God which worketh in us to will and to do his good pleasure. So the instruction that it comes for my gift is that if there's any good thing, if this gift is to be used that God has put in me, it had to be from him. And I've got to allow him to work through me and not to hinder the work that he has. Now I go back to every time of God working through me when I was called to preach. I found a million reasons why I could not do this. I found a million reasons why I didn't want to do this. I come up with them all. Lord, I can't talk in public. I can't meet strangers. And he says, "Look here, I give you Stephanie. She can talk to a stop sign. I give you this." There was no excuse. When God's got a reason for you and he's got a work for you, which, by the way, if he has saved you today, you have a purpose, you have a reason, and God desires for you to be used. He comes with instructions. And by the way, you've got 66 books of instructions right here for your gift. But we all buy these things. They come with these instructions. All these gifts do. But you know, as my kids was little, the gifts I used to hate for them to get was the ones that took batteries. You know why? Because as you open that instruction manual, what was written at the very top or the very bottom sometimes, batteries not included. And here you've got Amberly, who's already been moody since she was a kid. She's always had this attitude where don't go her way, she's going to pitch a fit. And she's wanting to play with this toy, and there ain't no batteries, and you live in Muscadine, Alabama, and it's 10 o'clock at night. So you guys say, "Shut up and go to bed." And then she's going to kick the floor and scream. But listen, with this gift, the batteries are included. The gift that he gives you of salvation comes with instructions, and it comes with the batteries are in there. The power is available. The power is there. It is ready. It comes ready for you to work. You don't have to spend years perfecting this trade that God has called you into. Although it is true, the more you preach, you're supposed to get better. I don't know about that, but you should get better. The more you teach, you should get better. The more you sing, you should get better. But listen, the gift that God's put in you, the power is there. The instructions are there. Everything's there. The only thing you need to do is to use it. Now, if I asked you about a favorite gift you've gotten as a kid, you would tell me something. One thing you wouldn't tell me is that you put it on a shelf and you never used it. You put it on a shelf, you never opened it. You never wanted anything to do with it. No, if it was your favorite gift, you played with that thing or you used it until it was completely worn out. But our gift of salvation that God has given us, our gift of reaching others, a lot of times we just want to hoard it up. We don't want to let that light shine. Remember, the power source is God. The power supply never runs out. And those of y'all that's kids did get toys and they did come with batteries, or the grandparents had enough insight to buy batteries, what would happen in a week or two? They would die. When I was a kid, I always loved cars. And mom and daddy would go to, I think Walmart was just starting up then, we'd get these little four-wheel drive cars about this long. They was called Stompers. Some of y'all old, young people don't know about that. Some of y'all older ones might. You took one AA battery and you put it in the center of that thing. The body popped off of it. And that thing come with mud grip tires and it would climb anything out in the yard. And we used to take them and we'd dig mud holes for them. They wouldn't last very long because we'd sink them in water. But listen, we was continually going through batteries. Going through batteries all the ways. But this gift that God has given us, it never needs repowering. It is powered forever. It comes with an eternity-long battery. Your light has enough power. It should always shine. It should never go out because it's got an eternal power source. You do not have to worry about it. Listen, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Grace is sufficient. This grace that powers this battery will never, ever run out. This battery powers this light that I am called to be. That will never, never go out. But it also comes with warnings. What I was talking about, our 65 generation, we have come so close of letting these people influence us that we go to McDonald's and buy a cup of coffee and it's got to have written on it, caution hot. Or we go to buy something and it'll tell us to not do something stupid with this device because obviously people have tried it and they have sued folks over it. But all gifts that you get for Christmas and all gifts that you're going to get me for my birthday or whatever, they're going to come with warnings. This one does also. Do all things, verse 14 again. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Why is this important? It's the same way it's important that you heed to the warning that's on the cup. By the way, if you don't know that a McDonald's coffee can be hot, you probably don't need to be ordering it. Because coffee is going to be hot. And if the coffee was not hot, you would take it back. We want coffee hot. So they had put that warning on there to keep them from being sued. But the warning that God puts on this gift of us is to keep it from being tarnished to an outside and a dying world. You see, the one thing that has hurt people more than anything have been in churches and they've hurt them, they've hurt towards Christian people, is they see no difference in me and you than they do the rest of the world. They don't see that light. Why? Murmurings. Disputings. Hey, we'll get in a fuss in church over something that is crazy. Well, churches split over all kind of things. I've heard of them splitting over the carpet color, over the color of the stained glass windows, or over the pews, or over different things. And listen, anything that says murmurings or disputings according to the Word of God, it is wrong because it keeps lost souls from seeing the light of God in you. I used to go visit people in my neighborhood where the church I was raised or come from. You know what they'd say? I ain't going there. All this up there is a bunch of hypocrites. That's their number one excuse. Used to be. Now it's I don't have time. That sounds better than calling people hypocrites. We're politically correct now. But the true reason is they don't see a need. And the reason they don't see a need is they don't see a Christian community that is a light to a world. Because we've all got the shade of murmurings and the shade of disputings over it. Hey, you don't believe me. And some of y'all, I don't hear all this, but y'all do. And y'all don't tell me because y'all don't want me to get discouraged and leave. Well, some of you probably would, but anyway. When it comes time to vote officers, we'll ask so-and-so, will you take this job? Yeah, I'll take it. And then they go home, you know what they begin doing? They begin murmuring. And they don't do a good job at it because they don't want to. Because there's no desire to do it. And they murmur the whole time. And I've even heard preachers that say, oh my goodness, I've got to preach this thing tomorrow. I've got to preach this revival. I've got to do this. Listen, we should not say I've got to. We should say I get to. We shouldn't say I've got to serve as a deacon. We should say I get to serve as a deacon. We shouldn't say I got to preach. We should say I get to preach. We should be excited about the work that God's given us and to do all these things without murmurings and disputings. You ever told your children to do something and they walk off mumbling? You have. You know what it does? It makes you mad. You say, hey, what'd you say? Come back here. We do the same thing to God. Hindered probably more than anything in the Christian life is murmurings and disputings. It slams the brakes on a revved up life. I've seen people that was excited for the work of God, and then people in the church began murmuring about them, and they began fussing about something they did or something they said or something they didn't say or something they did or didn't do. And before long, you do what all people has always done. We're all guilty of this. Why, for some reason, somebody answer me this question after service. God, I want to know, why when we're mad at somebody do we want people on our team? This started when we was in kindergarten. You remember when you'd go to school and somebody would make you mad? The first thing you'd do is go to your buddy and you'd want your buddy to be mad at him too. We'll begin building teams. Put the brakes on a revved up life, or put water on a fire that God has started through disputings and murmurings. That's why it's a warning with this gift. You still have to understand the warnings that they put in there. I was making fun to start with, saying it was in a 65 generation. But these warnings are put there for your protection. You go by a saw, it'll tell you to wear protective eye gear when you're using it. That's to keep your eyes from getting put out by the shavings. Now, it's up to you whether you use it or not, but the warning's there. It's there to protect yourself, and it's there to protect others. If others are next to you when you're using that saw, these shavings could come off, these spurs, if you cut metal, could go into the eyes of those, it could harm those, or a piece could even go into their skin, or something like that. It's there for the protection of you and others. That's exactly what this warning is for, is protect you and those who are to see your light from being wandering in a dark, dark world. This gift, if you haven't figured it by now, because I've said it 100 times, it comes with warning, but this gift, it is a light. You ever peeked at your Christmas gift? We all used to try that, didn't we? We want to see what was in there. This gift is a light. And it's for the lost on the sea of life. Have any of you ever seen an old-timey lighthouse? We went to California and we saw probably the first original one, I guess, I've ever seen on the northern coast of California. Still there, we drove out to it. These lighthouses in the day was there to protect the ship from running aground, protect the ship from destroying itself, from hitting the rocks. They would light this thing up, and it's what the ship could see. They could see the light. Our life is to be a light to these people who are on this sea called life. And then listen, this thing called life is turbulent. It gets scary. It gets a little shaky. The waves get big. The waves get scary and they get tall and they get mean and life gets pretty tough sometimes. And listen, this lost world are sailing around with absolutely no direction. They don't have a GPS. They don't have any fog lights. They don't have any spotlights. They're just there floating around and they have no direction. And the reason they don't is because me and you have a bushel put over our lampstand. Our light is hid to those that are lost. Your light's to shine bright. Your light will never save anybody. It never will. But it is to shine bright to those who are about. You've heard the old saying, you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. Your life may be the only Bible that somebody will ever look at. Well, number one, they got to read the Word of God or hear the Word of God taught to be saved. The Bible teaches that. But your light is to be what illuminates that thing. Notice what it says in verse 15 and 16. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst or the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. I know this was written to the nation of Israel. But brother, right now today, me and you, as Christians, we are in the middle of a crooked and a perverse nation. You don't believe this? There are some crooked things going on in our nation right now as we even speak. The more perverse it has ever been. The more crooked it's ever been. And why in the world do we need to be lights? Because it tells me right here in this verse, we're in the middle of a crooked and a perverse nation, and we need to shine as lights in the world. So many has this thing hid. It says, holding forth the word of life. This is where this thing winds up right here. Why does your light matter? Why does your walk with Christ matter? Why does your speech, why does your everyday walk in the community matter? You're holding forth the word of life. You see, when you don't let that light shine, you are turning the light off to those who need to see. And the only thing you can hold to show them where your light comes from is holding forth the word of life. It ought to be our flashlight that we hold to. Holding forth the word of life. Everything we need to know about salvation comes from this word of God. Paul tells them, he says, hold to that word of life. Hold to the word of God. Don't let it change. Don't let them take it away from you. The Bible even says to put it in your heart where they was to take it away. They cannot take it out of your heart. It's always there. You should study the Word of God. And I challenge you. You cannot, you will not be a light to a dark and perverse nation if you are not immersed in the Word of God. You will not be. And by the way, until you get God in the right place in your life, you will not be the light you are called to be. You will not be anything you're called to be. Until you get Him in His right place in your life, you cannot show forth the word of life to somebody that you don't have in the right place to start with. This light should bring forth a great rejoicing. Paul says, hold forth that word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. Paul realizes these are disciples he's making. He wants to see them persevere. He wants to see them shine as lights. Hey, there's somebody that discipled you when you was young. Or you may have been old in age, but you was a young Christian. Somebody discipled you. Somebody brought forth the word of life to you, and they rejoice. In the day of Christ, they'll be rejoicing to see that you held forth this thing, and you went forth as a light. That you was a light in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. Lastly, don't waste it. Don't waste it. As I told you at the start of this thing, that work out your own salvation with fear and trembling takes on the thought of a cave or mining in a mining shaft, of where you go in and you extract everything you can from it. You've been given this great, great gift of grace and mercy from Jesus Christ. And it's a light. It's supposed to be a light in your life. And you have a light. By the way, I told you to start with, if you are born again, if you are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, you have a light that no man, including you, cannot turn off. You just have to cover it. Don't waste this light. Don't waste this life. I've read about great Christian men who have been on their deathbed. They ask them, what do you wish you could do more? I think it was Billy Graham that said, study and pray. Billy Graham said that. Boy, I am in a mess if he said it. D.L. Moody said, what could you do? He said, get closer to God. He said, never has it yet to be seen what a man that is fully sold out to God can do. He was saying he wasn't. If you studied his life, it looked like he was, but he knew his life and he wasn't. What about you today? You've got a light. You've got a gift that God has given you. It comes with all the power you'll ever need. It comes with instructions. It comes with warnings. It comes with opportunities. It comes with every single thing you could ever want out of it. But it's up to you if you'll use it. Is yours shining bright before men? That your light shines forth, God? When somebody thinks of you, do they think of Christ? When they think of you, do they think of Jesus? Do they see Him in your life? I'm not talking about what you profess to be, because our profession sometimes don't line up with the truth. Are you wasting the gift that God has given you? Are you walking around with a shade on your light? As Pat comes forth, as everybody stands, I think if we was all honest, we'd have to say, yes, my light is hid to some degree. Maybe your light is not hid as much as mine. Maybe mine's not hid as much as yours. I don't know. But I do know that our lights are hid. Why do I know this? Because there are people walking in darkness. They're walking in darkness. And the reason for all of our problems in our nation and all the problems in our world comes back to the church that's on earth at this time in history. It's not anybody else's fault. It's not the ones in the past's fault. They're gone. It's our fault. We are to be the ones who's letting our light shine forth that the lost can see the way. You ever said, well, I wonder why in the world they don't live this way. I wonder why they don't do this. I wonder why they just don't quit doing this or why they don't start doing this. It's because they are blind. They cannot see. They need a light. You are called to be that light. Shine forth as lights in the world in a perverse and crooked nation. Church, it's time that we let our light shine brightly. The Bible says a light on a hill is not easily hid. I I think a lot about it. I can just imagine that light. You can see a light for miles and miles away on a clear night. They say, I used to know how far you could see a candle. I mean a match. It's a lot of miles. You can see a match in the desert in a flat ground. Just a little bit of light. You see, what happens is we allow life to come in. The cares of life, the murmurings, the disputings, all this other stuff comes out and it hides the light that God has given us. Today, will you let your light shine forth? To do that, you've got to remove all this other stuff. It's easy to say. It's easy to cry a little bit about it. What brings forth the fruit and the light is when you do something about it, when you act upon it. Right now we stand at the same point we do every Sunday. We have a choice to make. You can go about life as you've been going and everything will be fine according to you. But what if your life was to be the light that showed some lost soul the way to Jesus? And by the way, that's who he uses, is us. Somebody today that you don't even recognize is watching your light. They're watching your life. They know what you profess to be. They know where your car's at on Sunday morning. They know where it's at on Sunday evening when we have church. They know where it's at on Wednesdays. But when you're around them, how is that light? You see, we do this amazing thing. We all are actors. By the way, that's what the hypocrite means, is an actor. We're all guilty of this. How many of you pull up into the churchyard mad at your spouse? You had a great fight. And you get there and you're mad at the world. All of a sudden, you hit them steps, something magical happens. A smile comes on that face. We got to fool these people. We got to put on a show. We do the same thing in our communities. We're around this group. We want the light hid because we don't want to stand out. We need to be letting our light shine. Don't care what the world thinks. You care what the Lord thinks. If she plays, if you need to come for any reason, you may be here this morning. You may not have a light. You don't know Jesus. You've never received him in your heart and life. Then, my friend, you don't have a light. You're in this darkness. You're wandering around with nowhere to go. Well, I think about the craziest things in this preaching. But if you're a a man and over 40 in the middle of the night, you have to get up. As far as I'm going with that. You have to get up. And you know what? My house, I like it dark. Boy, I run into things every night. And I know they've been there for years. But I run into them because there's no light. But I found that I got this watch on. It's got a little bitty tiny light on it. I can tap that thing. And in total darkness, I can see enough to get where I need to go. But you better get the meaning of darkness real quick. That's how our lives are. We must have the light. My prayer is today, you may have been here and you may have heard this message. You know your light is hidden among those you're around. I can't change you one bit, but the Word of God can. I pray His Spirit today and convicts you. I pray, as they used to say, your bed becomes too short till you get this part of your life right. You become the light you're called to be in a perverse and crooked nation. You may be here this morning. Lord, let you know this is a place to serve out of. We'll accept members right now as she plays. Any way the gospel authorizes, you come on.